Welcome to Conversations. And Lisa, this is amazing. We are not only at the beginning of a new year, but we're at the beginning of a new decade.
That's crazy.
We're in the 20s.
Yep.
I love that.
This is the decade of my 60s.
It is.
This is crazy.
I hit my 60s last decade. But Lisa, I really believe this is a decade that's going to be marked by the presence and the power of God. I believe we're going to see it restored to the church like we've never seen it before. I believe that it's going to be a decade of harvest. Many souls will come into the kingdom. If you look at, you know, the word of God, many people came into the kingdom when they saw the mighty works that Jesus did and the apostles did. We can't have a gospel that's powerless. Paul said that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. And so I want to encourage everybody right at the beginning of this new decade, believe that the decade is going to be a decade of the presence of God and signs and wonders. And so—
And you can have wonderful without weird, which is exciting.
I love that. Yeah. You know, I remember one day, Lisa, I was really struggling with that. It was when I was going to write the Holy Spirit book.
You wanted weird or?
No, I was going to write the Holy Spirit book, and all my sons around the dinner table, our sons said, no, you're not doing the Holy Spirit. And I realized that when we were in some of the churches when they were little kids, there was some strange behavior.
Yes.
And it was troubling me. And I went to the Lord, and you know what the Lord said to me, Lisa? He said, who operated more fully in the Holy Spirit than anybody in the history of mankind? And I went, Jesus. He said, little children ran up and jumped in his lap. So obviously, he wasn't weird. And all of a sudden, I realized what my kids saw was weird behavior, not the Holy Spirit being weird. And so before we jump into what we're going to talk about in this broadcast, had a lot of testimonies come in about our three episodes on women in ministry and women's place in the church. Can you read some of them?
Absolutely. So this is from Julie Fun Girl. I love that name.
That's great.
She said, the recent episode on women in the church had me in tears. I've done so much studying and praying about this. Having grown up in extreme legalism, why she has to call herself Fun Girl now. So it's not a new topic to me, but to be validated in my hesitation because I am so desperately wanting to honor God and my husband and scripture, it brought me to tears. Thank you for explaining the difference between interpreting and translating and bringing God's heart into the matter. I am truly grateful. And then here's another one. This is from Nate, and Nate says, I want to thank you both for tackling this topic. I met my wife while she was a student pastor of middle school students. I am so glad that she was established in her call and her ministry before we were married because I know that her identity is not wrapped up in, hang on, we're turning pages, in mine. She is now a paid pastor on staff at our church in southern West Virginia. I joke with the other pastors that I am the pastor's wife, but we are also able to work together in ministry. She gets opportunities behind the pulpit to speak to 150 to 200 students in student ministry.
So proud of her.
Yes, which is a full-fledged church service. I take great pride in saying my wife is a pastor because she fought against the pressure of what is the normal church culture some 10 years ago and pursued what God had told her to do.
And Lisa, I've had a lot of comments about people saying how much they appreciated you and I talking about this very, very tough subject, controversial subject, but it's really not.
And something that we've grown in. I mean, we thought one way at one time and And had great people that came around us and had conversations, didn't call us names, didn't threaten us, just actually said, well, you know, let's talk about this. What does this look like?
You know what, Lisa? We so desperately wanted to obey the word of God, the scripture. Yep. And what we found out is we're still obeying the word of God in scripture by women preaching. And that's the thing. We address that context issue. Well, let's talk about this new year and new decade. What an opportunity. We actually just did a course for everybody called Reset 2020, and I think there's a lot of people that want to reset, but we're already a couple of days into the new year, and statistically, Lisa, people make New Year's resolutions, and by the fourth day,
they're blown
right?
Hey, I've done that. Now, I'm going to read through this Devo in a year.
Yeah, right? And so what are some of the New Year's resolutions that you have failed to follow through on? Are there any?
All of them. All of the one resolutions.
Lisa, you're making a lot of people feel good right now.
Y'all just are getting free right now listening to me. No, you know what? I tend to not do well with a lot of legalism. So I have to give myself structure, but I have to have this spirit behind it. You know, I think that one of the things I haven't—
Let's go a little deeper.
No, wait a minute. One of the things you asked me what I haven't I've failed at most of them, but what I haven't failed at is to set my heart. And I think that at the beginning of the year, we should set our heart. We got to let go of last year, forgetting what's behind and straining for what is ahead. You talked about a year of power, a year of harvest, a year of strength. I think that we can just seize it as we can every single day, because God's mercy is new every morning, a new beginning.
Okay, so what I want to ask is this, and this may be really controversial. Is it even good to set New Year's resolutions?
I wouldn't think it could be wrong.
I wouldn't either, but here's what I say. Hold them loosely and don't condemn yourself if you don't fulfill them. But if you approach it with an attitude of this is exciting, I'm looking forward to it, you'll probably succeed rather than seeing, oh, I'm being constrained. I have to read my four chapters today, whatever it is that you've set up.
You know, this is making me think of what one of our board members said to us. He said, I give you boundaries, but they're not to bind you.
Right.
I want to actually give you structure so that you can flourish. So I think resolutions should not turn into rules. Resolutions should be boundaries that actually help people grow.
Now, Lisa, I have noticed, though, in my life, If I do something for 21 days, and I just remind myself every day, maybe the iPhone, maybe written on paper, I find that it really does become a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a habit of constraint. It's a habit of delight, mm-hmm. if it's the right thing. And
Don is one of the most highly disciplined people on the face of the earth.
So that's a matter of opinion. That's very subjective. But
it's not subjective. Well, it's what I live with.
But, you know, Lisa,
he's an Enneagram 1. I'm just saying it.
Okay. Whatever that means. I don't quite understand fully all that Enneagram stuff.
It means you act like the Holy Spirit and you make very few mistakes.
Really?
Oh.
You mean I've actually made suggestions to you on things that I shouldn't have before in our marriage?
I don't know if you shouldn't have. I just don't know if they were as successful as—
So you're right. I'm saying you're right. Yeah. I act like the Holy Spirit. But yes. Lisa, I think it's really important to set goals and to set New Year's resolutions. And I want to say this. If you miss them for a whole week, just go back to it. It's mm-hmm. not the fact that you do it every day. It's the fact that you're saying, I want to move towards this type of behavior that is godly. And I know— You know, for a lot of people, it's a big one. It's hard for them to fulfill. It's reading through their Bible in a year. Well, let me say this. I would rather you read 3/4 of the Bible and not make your New Year's resolution of getting all the way through it than not setting a goal to read through the Bible and maybe reading just 2 books in the Bible the whole year. So I'd rather see somebody go through 75% of the Bible. And the thing that I want to add that is so important, don't condemn yourself. You've done more than the year before.
Right.
And if you missed a third of the Bible, read it at the beginning of the following year. Just get through it. Mm-hmm. And I think when we do that, we don't stop. I find that what causes more people to stop is discouragement over the fact that they can't keep it going every day.
Yeah. You know, and this makes me think about fasting. You know, a lot of times in January, people have started to fast, they've started to diet, and then sometimes they set themselves up to fail. And we actually cover fasting in the Reset 2020 thing. But I want to just talk about this. And, you know, a lot of times people think that a fast is only food. But what I love about a fast is it's a reset on where we go to for comfort. It's a reset. Like, we all have Christmas food babies. We need to give birth to them. And the fast kind of says, I'm cutting out.
How do you give birth to a Christmas food baby?
Well, you stop eating sugar. You stop eating white flour.
Okay.
Yeah, you cut back the feasting and you go to the fasting. But one of the things I remember as a young mom, I was breastfeeding. I couldn't fast. I had kids. So what I like to say is you can fast what holds you back.
Correct.
You know, you can, it isn't always about food.
One of the most effective fasts that we've gone on as a family, I remember, was turning off the TV for a month.
Yes.
And to agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that, you know, some people can set themselves up to fail. They're like, I'm only going to drink water for a year.
No, they would fail. They would be with Jesus.
So I think, you know, you can fast sugar. You can fast TV, as you mentioned. You can fast
computer games.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, there's all sorts of different
screen
things.
Screen time, social media. There are so many things that you can do.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. So again, we dive into that a lot in Reset 2020. And, you know, a fast changes the way you see and a diet changes the way you look. So a fast is all about changing your perspective.
I love that.
It's about finding your fulfillment in God and going to Him. And I love how David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. I chastened my soul. And, you know, maybe John doesn't need to do this, but sometime my soul needs to have some time out, chastening time. And a fast actually does that for me. So, all right. So do you, you know, are you doing a word for this year? Do you feel like God has given you a word for the year?
I don't want to say that. For me right now, I don't have that determined.
Okay.
I have learned that if the Holy Spirit puts something on my heart for the year, then I speak it, I say it. But I find sometimes that we're almost trying to force the issue because let's just face it. I don't even think it's the beginning of God's new year. I think the Jewish calendar is God's new year, and that's in September. Now, I'm not meaning to crush everybody's faith around here because God will always meet us at our point, our point of connection with Him. And if we set our point of connection to be, hey, January 1st, this is going to happen, I'm great with that. I'm great about anything that brings people closer to Jesus' heart, not about people being disciplined, but being distant from God. And so I think it's very healthy to set food goals. I think it's healthy to set exercise goals. But, you know, Lisa, you know, I eat really clean. And
no,
it's
painful. He asked me today, why do we have bacon in our house?
So I have sat many times with people and they're eating a dessert. You know, we've just gotten done with several services and they go, oh, John, you really want this? And I look at him and I say, I honestly don't have any desire for that. And it's because sugar is addictive.
Again, Enneagram 1.
And I'm not addicted to it.
Again.
So,
let's be honest. You do love dark chocolate.
I do.
Yeah, and
it's healthy.
Yeah, there we go.
So is anything healthy?
Yes.
So
you do have joy in your life.
I do talk about that on Reset 2020. And by the way, Reset 2020 is something we are giving to you. Lisa and I spent an entire day, our team, recording this in the studio. We prepped for it. It was a lot of work. And we just wanted to give you a gift to help you to reset and get a fresh start. Yeah. And it was a powerful, powerful taping.
And you know, some of the concepts we covered were?
We talked about family. We talked about food and fitness. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about
fasting,
focus, fear, focus,
faith.
Yeah,
these were
They're all F's if you haven't figured it out, by the way.
Yeah, this is what we did.
And so anyway, I do want to say that I think it's very healthy to set maybe some physical, like eating goals. Don't make them ridiculous. Just let's improve over last year and set some maybe exercise goals. You know, Lisa, we had one of the top surgeons in the state of Oklahoma look right at us and say 75% of the people are in hospitals and they don't need to be there. 75% of the people in the hospitals don't need to be there. It's because of their food and it's because of stress. And when you're taking the Word of God in, it brings peace. You know what I've noticed? The Word of God, when I'm reading it in the morning, brings me peace. And
I agree. If you haven't read the Word, you're grumpy. So I love it when I send you back. I'm like, wait, I've interrupted your Bible reading time. Go on back. You're so cute.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not meaning to be cute right now. I'm actually pretty serious, but
no.
I love that you think it's cute.
No, okay, so now before we move on, what do you think are some of the best tips that we can give people to dream with God and set some actionable goals?
I think be quiet.
Okay.
I think our greatest battle in this generation is everything screaming at us. Mm. We have social media screens. Mm-hmm. We have TVs. We have all kinds
of... So be still.
Yeah. I think this is not exact statistics, but in 1975, when you and I were in high school, we got 250 bits of information thrown at us a day. So that would be billboards, that would be books, that would be television. Today, it's over 6,000 bits of information. And when I say bits, it's shots of information are projected to every person every day on average. Mm. So you can see that there is so much more screaming for our attention, and who gets left out is the one who's unseen. And if we don't give him our heart and get still before him, he's unheard. Mm. So I find we have, just picture a bunch of busy little ants running everywhere, but having no direction, no leader, which even ants have a leader. Mm. And I find that too many of us are pushed and pulled by our busy lives rather than getting quiet and saying, okay, is there a direction you want me to head? Is there somebody you want me to call today? Is there somebody you want me to reach out to today? That's what we need to be sensitive to. But if we get up, we're going, we have no realization that our neighbor is thinking about suicide right now. Well, what if we got quiet and the Lord just dropped in our heart, go pay a visit to your neighbor. Just tell them how much you appreciate them. Could that just one visit, we don't even really know it, avert him from taking his life that day? And so I just wish the body of Christ would get just a little quieter before they get into their day. And I find morning is the best time because my mind is clear when I'm sleeping at night to just sit. Just sit. Put your coffee or your tea, whatever you drink, or your glass of water, I don't care, orange juice, and sit and just listen. Listen to your heart, because that's where the Holy Spirit communicates to us.
That's beautiful. All right. Well, we have some exciting things happening in 2020. And one of those is our oldest son, Addison.
Yes.
He's not old, but he's our oldest son, the father of our four grandchildren.
Yes.
He has a book that's coming out.
Yeah, and I'm very excited about this book, first of all, because I've watched the way Addison has sowed and sowed and sowed, and Jesus said, if you are not faithful in what is somebody else's, who will give you what is your own? Well, he has been faithful with Messenger, and literally—
Since he was like 15.
He has denied himself, and he has put all his dreams that God has placed in his heart aside to fulfill what Messenger was doing. When somebody is faithful like that, Lisa, God puts a touch on them. And when I read his book and heard him preach, and I have not read his whole book because I'm writing now and I don't want his words filtering into my book.
We'd steal them because they're that good.
But when I heard him preach this in Italy, Lisa, I was so blessed on two accounts. Number one, I saw our influence in his life. Number two—
Improved influence, yes.
But number two, I saw a fresh voice. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that he was echoing you and I, because I didn't hear Lisa Bevere or John Bevere's message. Mm-hmm. I heard a fresh message from heaven. Mm-hmm. And this message of saints is absolutely powerful. It really is going to help people. And he'll be on our podcast,
on the next podcast.
But I don't want to take away from his thunder, but I believe it will position people to live more powerfully and more successfully, not by a law or by letters, but by realizing who they are. But anyway,
yeah, so you know, again, we want to say the title. The title is Saints,
yep.
And the subtitle is Becoming More Than Christians. And I know a lot of people are like, what? So we're going to talk about, here's what's super exciting for our podcast people. Right now, you have an opportunity to pre-order. This is only going to be available till January the 20th. You can get the Saints audiobook download. You will have access to the Saints online study for 3 months on our All Access platform. You will have the digital files of the chapter artwork, and they're otherworldly. They're magnificent artwork, and you can enter to win a video chat with Addison. All you have to do to get access to that is go to messengerpodcast.com/offer, and this is only until January 20th, messengerpodcast.com/offer to get a hold of Saints Becoming More Than Christians.
And I can't stress enough to everyone, get a hold of Reset 2020. I really believe this is going to strengthen you and avert any discouragement that may occur that, you know, maybe I didn't keep my New Year's resolution. Oh, this year's not going to be different than any other year. I believe Reset 2020 really produces a vision. They're very quick lessons. We did each lesson from 6 to 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that means you can go through this course by just taking that 6 to 8 minutes in the morning or in the afternoon, the evening, whatever you choose to do each day for a total of 8 days. Now, why did we do eight? Eight is just the way it worked out, but then we started looking at it and we realized that eight is the number of new beginnings. So it's a fresh start 2020, getting a reset for this year. And guess what? You can go to the same place, messengerpodcast.com/offer and get that free course.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm so excited about the new year. I just want to invite you guys. Maybe you have not subscribed to Conversations, but you can subscribe. And I want you to go and give us your comments. We love hearing from you. You say, hey, this is a new decade. Here are some things we want you to talk about. We want to hear from you. But until next time, I want to thank you for tuning in. This has been Conversations with John and Lisa Bevere.
Thanks for listening to Conversations with John and Lisa. Let us know your thoughts by leaving a review. And be sure to subscribe and share these episodes through iTunes. You can also connect with John and Lisa through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time.